Coke.
Way to go, Joey. Professional start, huh?
Sorry.
What's in the Coke?
Coke. And ice.
Yeah.
She's on cocaine and meth.
Is there any Up Dog in there?
What?
Is there any Up Dog in there?
What's Up Dog?
Not much. What's up with you? Hey! We recorded that. That worked.
Swallow this. I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
I did not know what was going on there.
Oh my god.
I'm an idiot. Did you say duck?
Dog.
Doug.
Dog. Oh, what's up, dog?
But isn't that what's up, doc?
No, that's what Bugs Bunny's.
I thought you were just shooting. Okay.
Anyway, hello, this is Horror Lives.
It's like a Pound World version of Bugs Bunny.
Mm. No, what's up?
I thought it was very funny.
It's a person.
I can't believe you walked right into it.
It's a
person. Were you going dog, like dog?
Yeah, it's like, what's up, dog?
Okay, well, you should have said it like that.
And you're like, what's up, dog? And you go, not much, what's up with you?
Anyway, here we are.
Classic.
So this
is there some Madowitch in there?
No. What's Madowitch?
Alright, you didn't hear me. It's fine.
Did you say Madowitch?
No, Madowitch.
Oh! I can't do that accent.
I'm Peter.
It's me.
I'm Peter. The last week.
Has been good. It's been a good week for all of us, I believe.
Oh, totally. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, a tough week.
I killed myself.
Several times. Mm. Came back from the dead.
Finally. Mm. Went ahead.
Yeah.
Slit my fucking wrists. And my throat.
Is that how you do it? I think I would throw myself off the Golden Gate Bridge or something.
Yeah, there'll be something nice about a free fall.
That's something a very expensive suicide trip.
Why is it expensive?
Well, you're only going to pay for it once.
You have to fly to California.
Yeah, but you only have to do a one-way ticket.
When we were on the Golden Gate Bridge, there's all these like bits to keep you from doing
Did you ever see that documentary about all the people killing themselves over the course of a year?
No.
The bridge. And like there was all the criticism about why didn't they stop them from killing themselves.
But why were there people around or something?
Yeah, those people with cameras recording it all.
Oh, sorry, and they knew they were going to do it.
Well, no, I think they, like, you know, they would inform the authorities, and they think they stopped a good couple of them, but they didn't stop all of them.
There was a story a while back about people who tried to kill themselves jumping off a bridge, and they'd all survived, and they interviewed all those guys, and they all said that they had a newfound respect for life now, that they...
But wasn't there one of them who didn't?
Was there?
I remember seeming to recall someone, like, trying to kill themselves, and then, like, afterwards just still not feeling any better, even feeling worse that they didn't... succeed.
I don't know, there was...
I feel like I might be making this up, though.
I don't know, that would make more sense to me personally, because, you know, if you're depressed, you're depressed. But apparently loads of them halfway down had this realization that all of their problems could have been fixed. Which is like, how big were your fucking problems? Like, you know what? I think I could just buy some new shoes.
I should just put the rubbish in bins.
Then maybe my
Hoarders!
House... Then maybe my house won't be infested
anyway,
with rats.
Anyway, hello, welcome to Horror Lives.
Season 3!
We're already one episode down. What did you think? Did you like it? Was it good?
The response was really good.
Did we...
Can't believe we won that award for it.
Did we cover a lot of really great subjects?
Can you imagine if we were at a fucking, like, at like a convention and we had to do a panel? What the hell would we... And they'd be like, this horror movie, and we'd just be talking shit. Like, what would we even be saying?
I've seen, like, YouTube... People have YouTube vlogs and stuff like that. And they do the vlog of them going to the conventions.
Mm.
And I always find it hilarious because it's all them. And then, like, you know, they have their camera up in front of them, or their phone up in front of them, recording themselves. They walk around like that. And in the background of their video is everyone else doing the exact same thing.
No!
It's hilarious. But it's all these people, like, I mean, they have probably less views than we have for this, you know?
Well, the thing is...
They travel all the way out to places like San Francisco or Florida and stuff like that for these conventions.
Peter, you know this. Do you have to be asked to participate in a convention, or can you, like...
Well, you can attend, like...
But can you just go and have your own panel? Like a mad person?
No.
I mean, you can pay for panels, though, can't you?
That's what I was thinking. Can't you pay to go? I think you can.
be paying.
Yes,
for
it, it's called going to a convention.
No, but I mean paying to appear, like having your own little desk and stuff.
No, you buy booths. You rent space.
We were contacted. I meant to tell you this. I don't know if I should say this on the air. We were. But we were contacted about this film festival in the UK. I'd never heard of it. And it was like, yeah, do you want to come here and have a booth? And I was like, they wanted me to do it, obviously, because I'm the UK person. But I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. I was like, for no money. And what would I be giving out exactly? Like, free merch? Woo!
It's hilarious. But, oh, is Wicked Horror? Does they have no other people who are this side of the Atlantic?
Nikki is, but she owns it or something. Okay. So she's not really a... I think she does write, but she doesn't... You know what I mean? Okay. She's different.
Different.
But I ran Wicked Horror earlier this week. But I got the 8 a.m. their time, obviously, to 12 p.m. shift. And there wasn't much news. It was just Rob Zombie doing the Groucho Marx thing.
Yeah.
So that was all I did.
Have you not seen on Bloody Disgusting? Like, there's very rarely any actual news. It's always fucking, like, funny videos they find that are normally old.
I had BD open and I had Shock open. And I kept refreshing the two of them. But BD was covering, like, Ghostbusters and random stuff. And I was like, well, that's no good to me. Like, I thought even Rob Zombie doing Groucho Marx was pushing it a bit, except that everybody was talking about how he's a horror director. But right when my shift was ending, a new trailer for The Green Inferno dropped. But because it was only up on their Facebook, we couldn't download it and embed it yet.
Yeah.
Like, Peter was trying to do it for ages.
Been out for ages?
No, they had real problems with the distribution. We were lucky we got to see it at FryFest, actually.
I've been waiting to see it again. I'm really excited to see it again, actually.
Me too, I really liked it. Of his, that's probably my favourite one. But, yeah, so... The guy who came after me got that, and he got a load of other ones too, and I looked stupid. But I had great fun doing it. It was super fun.
Could have always reported about the sodium party, just saying.
Do you know when I thought that? I was like, imagine if I just slipped something in here. Because they were really... When I did Alfred and Michael's short film, which is a short film called Don't Despair, look it up. I know you watched it too. Mm-hmm. When I did a feature on that, I think they were kind of pissed at me because it wasn't a review. But the thing is, when it's a friend, you aren't really in a position to do a review. And I don't think they really wanted an honest review. They wanted me to be like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Which is technically what I said.
That's what a lot of people, a lot of people say, oh, watch this, give me critical feedback, tell me what you think, as long as it's all good.
Yep.
That's exactly what a lot of people do.
Like, a lot of people that we met at Fright Fest and stuff will contact you if they have a Kickstarter or something.
Yeah.
But this site doesn't really cover stuff like that unless it's somebody big.
Yeah, most sites don't, sure.
Because quite honestly, nobody cares.
Yeah.
I'd love to give you the press, and I'll give you the press personally myself, but I can't give you the press on my site. Like, it's not my site.
Yeah.
Like, we get contacted on the wrestling site that I run, Gorilla Press, and I don't even really technically run it, I just edit other stuff, but, like, we get contacted by fucking nobodies, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, people don't even care about TNA, let alone what you're talking about. So...
Anyway, so we got together. The last time we were actually together, had talked about all the movies that we were going to look forward to this year.
I thought you meant literally, because I was like, me and Richard went to see Insidious 3.
No, the last time we got together with a fucking recorder. Don't.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry.
We were talking about things we were looking forward to in the year. You know, things like Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Things like...
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Things like...
That was it, really?
That was it.
We did
Sinister 3, I don't know.
Sinister 2 is coming out soon, and I'm kind of excited for it because I'm not watching the trailer this
sorry.
Time.
Sorry, Insidious 3, Sinister 2.
Well, Kieran Foy, I mean, good for him.
Yeah. I really hope it goes well, because I have, a vague connection to him, but I've never met him. And actually, what's his name? The guy who did Stitches, Conor McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing some sort of course in Dublin at the moment where... It's like a one-day thing where you get to make a horror film with them. It cost him like €400.
Oh, fuck.
I was totally up for it. It's like, oh, that'd be great fun. And then I saw the price. Sounds, like, fuck that. I could probably just
find
like
when wrestlers have seminars.
Yeah. That's it. Like, I mean, talks, they're all the same. There's someone sitting there behind a desk giving their advice, whatever, and then sending you off to go.
You won't be saying that when you're doing it.
Oh, I totally will.
Come meet Richard Waters.
I've already done talks. I mean, they're all fairly like that.
Richard's done talks for money, y'all.
Well, anyway, now here we are, 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
6 months older.
We're halfway through the year.
Nearly dead.
6 months closer to our inevitable death.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's been a good year for movies, yes or no? Don't follow it up with anything, just yes or no.
No.
Richard?
Yes.
I think yes. I think yes, absolutely. I've seen more things this year that I've loved than stuff I've hated. Like, the stuff that I've hated, I can count on one hand. Chappie.
Actually.
No! You did not love Chappie!
See, I think everyone's got some weird bug up their ass about this whole D. Antwood or whatever it is. I have no clue who or what that is. So I was watching that and everyone, as far as I was concerned, was an actor in a film.
You thought they were good actors?
I thought they were fine. I thought your man was a dick and I thought that's what his character was, whereas the girl was a bit maternal, which is what her character was.
Oh.
I thought it was fine.
Simon Mayo said they were like the worst actors he'd ever seen and he's usually nice.
I don't think so. I mean, like, you know... Yeah, no, not at all.
I don't get
there's a few people.
Well, Peter's excited to watch it because he loves
new. It's quite good, Peter.
I think Peter's going to like it now. Great.
I don't get why people have such weird hatred for Neil Blomkamp's movies.
Because he's a one-hit wonder?
Because he's made
two good movies.
He's made one good movie.
District 9 is incredible. I didn't like Elysium whatsoever.
I did like
Chappie. Chappie was a bit of a redemption.
You couldn't seriously argue that he's not a one-hit wonder, though. Like, he did kind of...
Like, I think Chappie was good.
Oh no.
Like, I think, you know, I don't think his Alien is going to happen anymore after Chappie.
Neil
Blomkamp. Aw, that's sad.
He makes movies. See, that's what I think people don't consider the aim behind the movies, which is design. They're all his movies are about design. They're about world building stuff. They're about tech, things like that. Instead of being like a great story or a feel-good story or a Hollywood story.
I think that's the problem, though, is that he is imaginative when it comes to design and the ideas. Like, he has these great concepts. He needs someone, I think, to kind of help him get the stories that bit better. Like, District 9 happened to have a great story as well, even though it's quite simple.
He's not a good writer, is what you mean.
I think Chappie had enough of a story for me to be happy with it. I didn't think Elysium did. I thought Elysium let me down. But I understand what you mean. Like, that's the thing. He has... One thing that most directors or most writers or most anyone would kill to have is such a vision.
And then he's able to get a load of artists in together, creating all these designs, making like these great worlds. All the worlds in his fucking movies are great and have these great like lived in feels instead of everything being shiny or new or everything being totally shit. There are things that actually feel like make sense. Like I love all the fucking... All the graffiti in Elysium, like, just looked right. It looked like you were out on the street corner properly. Like, all their fucking computers had, like... It's weird, like, they had... There were the differences between the two groups' computers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all the, like, the gangs had, like... So, like, it looked like DOS prompt kind of stuff. Like, BIOS kind of, like, maybe teletext. Looking stuff, and then you had like these other ones that had a similar kind of blocky feel to it, but like were like very sleek and like printed on glass and like looked beautiful. And then like obviously the robots, which all his robots in his movies literally look like stuff from students' showreels. But yeah, I haven't seen Chappie yet.
You know, it's really weird though. Like at least, again, I didn't like it, and I think it was because it was a damn story. But that's it. Like you see the design, you see like Matt Damon in the kind of exoskeleton
thing. Part 2,
and you kind of look at that and your imagination goes wild, and then it just didn't, and I didn't, for me, it didn't in any way reach that expectation.
I liked Elysium more than I liked Chappie.
Oh no,
near the opposite. We used to talk about horror movies.
What was I gonna say? Well, yeah, so here we 6 months closer to death, all that stuff. The movies have come out.
You think it hasn't been a good year for movies? You haven't seen enough movies this year.
None of them fucking interested me. They're all fucking remakes.
The one movie that you were excited for, though, was great.
Yeah, delivered 100%. So, but like,
let's talk about.
But like, okay, so the movies, is Terminator out yet?
Not yet.
That's next week.
Okay, so we have like two big.
As in, not this week. The week after.
We have the two big other big ones coming out this year, which is the Terminator one and
Star Wars,
and Fantastic Four.
And,
well, Fantastic Four is going to be good. I'm excited
about that. I kind of feel Fantastic Four is one of those ones that they made just to keep the rights.
I think it's a great cast, though. Like, Ali watched it. She sees there's promise in the trailer, and I hope, because I hate the other Fantastic Four films.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Maybe the Roger Corman one.
So, like, we know Star Wars is going to be something.
Massive.
Like, it'll be a big movie, all that stuff. Whether it'll be incredible or just okay is kind of the thing. They can't be as bad as the prequels because nothing can be that bad.
No, I was watching them recently. Jesus.
We're not going to watch people talk about trade politics for a fucking hour and weird movements within the Republic Senate and things like that. So it can't be that bad. I mean, you can say that about what's-his-face's Star Wars movies, that even if you weren't really like...
You mean Star Trek.
Star Trek, sorry. That, Star Trek, like, they were still... They were movies, you could watch them.
But that's it, like, his first Star Trek movie was amazing. Like, the second one wasn't any great checks, but I thought the first one... Like, as I'm not a big Star Trek fan.
Me neither, and I liked
but
it.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'd watch it if it was on TV, definitely.
But what we... But the other things that came out, I'm not into Jurassic World.
You're crazy. You're crazy to not watch Jurassic World.
Have you not... Did you not see it, or...
No, he refuses.
I've seen...
You know, it's...
I'll catch up with it at some point.
Well, that's it. Like, I think the big problem is a lot of people went in, for some reason, expecting it to replace Jurassic Park in their minds,
mm-hmm.
to capture that same magic. But, like... Most people who were going in saw Jurassic Park before they were 10. It captured the world. It made them go like, oh shit, our dinosaur is real. And then they had this wild adventure, and Spielberg makes a great film.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know what anyone was expecting. I mean, for me, it's a larger scale dinosaurs loose in a park, basically. And
it was a modern
There's a lot of things
take.
That could have been gone wrong, but I actually thought it was very... I thought it was very good. It was very fun. And
watchable.
My estimation is probably the second best in that entire series.
I totally... 100% agree with you. And I said in my review, anyone expecting this to be the new Jurassic Park, like, seriously, you're crazy. Nothing's ever going to be Jurassic Park, just like nothing's ever going to be Jaws.
Mm.
I'm sorry. If you think anything is ever going to be Jaws, you're crazy. It's
the
not.
Jaws, the revenge.
Well, look at the...
Jaws,
look the at revenge. Look at the skeleton of this movie.
Oh. So you can't talk about it if you haven't seen it.
It seems...
But, like, are you going
to
talk about the...
It seems to be pretty similar to Jurassic Park.
It's not, though.
That's a lot of people keep saying this to me.
It's like, not!
There's certain throwbacks, there's certain homages and shit, but people keep saying to me, it's like, oh, I just took this and that from Jurassic Park.
Nope.
I don't quite see what you're talking about. I don't see this skeleton that people are saying I took from it. I mean, it's a basic story of people in a park and the animals get loose and that's...
But what
it.
More do you want? I don't want any more than that.
I do want to say, like...
I want more than that.
The dinosaurs were missing a bit of the viciousness. Like, in the original one, you know, the power goes down and suddenly the animals, you know, everyone's terrified and, you know, you might as well be dead. Whereas this one, it seemed like, you know, when the shit hits the fan, you're only still worried about the one thing, really.
I feel like the man living along with dinosaur genre, if you want to call it that. Like, there have been some advances in it since Jurassic Park came out, where there's really goofy things like Dino D-Day, where Hitler breeds...
Yeah.
That's a video game.
Okay.
There are things like that. Like, I wanted... Basically, for Jurassic Park 4, I kind of wanted it to basically just be Cadillacs and dinosaurs.
Oh, I love Cadillacs
and dinosaurs. See, that's where I was kind of hoping that, the story would go. We would just go to this society where both of them are involved, instead of it just being like, hey, we're back in a fucking park.
I don't think
that's ever going to happen with the Jurassic Park
series. It's not, but I wish you would just give it a chance, because it's super fun. It's super goofy and silly and dumb, and
it's
good fun.
It takes a lot of the action that, like, the second and third one took, but does it in a better way. Like,
much
the second
better.
And third one have their flaws. Actually...
Like, the third one, where they have a new dinosaur, like this movie, and then, the T-Rex fight it, like this
See,
movie.
I really don't think you can talk about it if you haven't seen it, though.
Yeah, I can't really say
certain there's
things
two shithead kids, like the first
They're not shithead kids. They're fine.
That was one plot point I didn't like. I didn't like how...
The divorce was shoehorned
in. Well, yeah, it felt shoehorned in. It didn't really pay off properly.
One thing I will say, though. This movie, and I totally believe this...
A shoehorned
there
divorce?
Were,
like the third movie.
There were times when I thought those two kids might die, though.
Mm.
Which I didn't think for one second in Jurassic Park. Even as a child, I knew they were going to survive. In this, I thought, you know what? They might actually die now, and then it'll just continue on.
I
thought
know.
That was kind of good.
If you told me, like... Oh yeah, and those shithead kids, they get fucking iced. I'd be like, maybe they'll watch. They get eaten by
there's
raptors.
The best sequence in the entire film involves those two kids. And it is scary as fuck. I said that in my review. Check out my review on Wicked Horror.
Seriously.
It's scary. It's really, really, really fucking scary. It's really nasty. Devin Faraci from Badass Digest, which is now Birth Movies Death, wrote this opinion. He hated it. And he wrote this opinion piece about how one particular death, the death of the British nanny type... Yeah. was really cruel and unnecessary. I fucking loved it.
But I thought that's what you needed. Like,
I thought it was brilliant.
It's like the third one. Whenever I know they're not pterodactyls or whatever, but you know those kind of flying dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever those come into it, they always seem to be... I find them the most terrifying because they're so flighty and, you know,
they
just picked with their large beak
and
they fuck off.
But even in the trailer, when there was that bit where they were looking around, the camera spun around and then all of a sudden someone was plucked, I loved that even in the trailer. Yeah. I thought that was fucking brilliant. If I were a kid and I were watching that, I'd be so disturbed. That right. wouldn't leave me for years. I'd be so freaked out yeah. thinking about dropping in and yeah. picking up and oh my
Which
God.
Which was Devin Faraci's argument because he was saying this is a kid's movie.
It's you didn't read movie. What Devin Faraci wrote. You heard what I told you about it.
But like, I mean, you need those things. Like, everyone seems to remember from the first film is the lawyer being eaten by the dinosaur in the toilet.
Yeah.
And which, oddly enough, never really stuck by me. And everyone sort of said it. I always thought that it sounded like the dinosaur came up from the toilet and ate him. But,
Did you watch, have you watched Jurassic Park recently?
I'd say recently enough, yeah.
Yeah, because I watched it when I did it for Not Quite Horror the week before Jurassic World came out. And I will still argue to this day, at 27 years of age, that Jurassic Park is still scary. I think it's scary.
I think the raptors are very terrifying.
I think the raptors are probably... Now, I will say that I did miss the man suit raptors because I prefer the man suit puppets, raptors. But I will say, I thought the advances in technology were more so than in any other film. I thought, you know what? There are parts of this that are really gorgeous. There was a great shot towards the end of the T-Rex and the raptor, and I turned to Gavin and I was like, that looks gorgeous.
See, there's this weird thing where I saw people talking about how... You know, they're talking about all the CGI dinosaurs and how it always feels fake until there's only one bit where, you know, a person is petting a T-Rex, or not a T-Rex, petting a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it's convincing is because the actor is very good and convincing. It's like, but it's not, though. It's a puppet. He's petting a puppet. That's why
exactly.
it feels real.
It's a puppet.
I mean, I'm always for physical effects if you can. Like, I mean, that's the best 100%. Thing is... Like, I actually thought Jurassic Park 3 did quite a good job with the dinosaur effects.
Well,
the
Stan Winston did all three.
Yeah.
Did the practical effects for all three. And apparently, the only reason Colin Trevorrow put some animatronics in Jurassic World was as an homage to him. But I'm glad...
As an homage, not because it looked good.
It definitely looks better when there's real things.
I totally agree. But do you not think, not all of it, but there are definitely a couple of shots in there that you think that does look pretty good. They should have gotten more Jaws with it, especially with the Indominus Rex. Yeah. They should not have shown the Indominus Rex so soon because I was freaked out. When they find the little bit that he's like clawed out, that was cool. But I thought it was good. I think you should watch it.
But let's talk about what you did watch, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Mad Max.
Yeah.
Down
let's
straight,
Max.
Let's talk about Mad Max.
I watched Live, Die, Repeat.
I love
Live, Die, Repeat.
Me too. Did anyone hate Mad Max?
No, I love it. Actually, no, I thought it was very good.
You didn't love it, love it?
People seem to have this weird, like, movie of the year kind of thing. I definitely don't think that.
It's not movie of the year.
It's my movie of the year.
It's the only movie you watched.
It's the only movie I was looking for.
It's the only movie he needs.
I don't know what my movie of the year would be so far.
I love post-apocalyptic movies. I love Mad Max. I love Road Warrior. Beyond Thunderdome is an alright movie. I really need to get you to watch that because it's a trip. It's a real trip.
It's bizarre.
See, I saw them all when I was a kid, but I just don't remember at all. They've all blended into one.
No, you have to watch them again. They're very different than what you remember.
I watched the first two.
They're so ridiculously influential as well. Unlike... If you're a nerd, if you're into anything nerdy, something in your sphere has been inspired directly or indirectly by something from Mad Max.
So why do you think people are so into Fury Road? Do you think it's because, much like John Wick, for example, they were like, oh, we didn't think this was going to be good?
No, from what someone wrote about it earlier on today. And they said that this movie is like how people imagine Road Warrior was when they were described Road Warrior.
Oh.
And you know when you watch Road Warrior, you're like, this movie is, this is a pretty good movie. It's a bit goofy.
Mm.
And you kind of expected it to be a bit more metal.
Yes.
And this movie is like, there's fucking, there's the Doof Warrior. With his fucking double guitar with a flamethrower in it.
It's like the way Dread was and Raid and stuff like that. They're all very straightforward films. They're all very simple plot-wise. But they just execute the action so well. It is so... You're like on edge for the whole thing. Like, you know, people jumping from truck to truck. Or the people on the like large pole vault thing.
And that they were actually doing it, which is so cool.
Like, it definitely helps that it does feel like physical. It feels like they were there. But...
Well, there's a story about those. George Miller wanted to CG them. But he was like, yeah, I saw this like Cirque du Soleil thing, and I was like, I was wondering if we could get on the car. And there was a discussion about it, and he talked to some stuntmen, and in the end he went, we'll just fucking CG them in, whatever. And then like a week or two passed, and like the head of his stunt team came to him and went, we have something to show you. And he was like, the fuck is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And they basically went out and did the whole, like, the pole stuff mm-hmm. in front of them, and they're like, yeah, there you go, it's safe, we can do it.
Cool.
Awesome.
They're like, yeah, we want to do this, this is awesome. Like, but there's a lot in this movie that's like either literally like real cool, kind of like if it's cool, put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's even crazy, there's stuff that they didn't get put in that's in the concept art that I got to see. Like there's like a truck that's the back end of an airplane
mm-hmm.
With monster truck wheels on it
mm-hmm.
and like crazy shit like that that didn't make it in. It's great. Did you like it?
Yeah, you know I did. Except you were shushing me during it. Apparently you have to be quiet during Mad Max.
Why, what were you yeah. saying? What was she saying?
Watch Mad Max.
I wasn't saying anything. I just went, oh! And he was like, shh.
I love the design though as well of, I can't remember any characters' names, but the main bad guy with the breath.
Immortan Joe. Immortan Joe. Or Toe Cutter from the first one.
Yes, he played Toe Cutter.
He was Toe Cutter.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Toe Cutter.
You remember the Knight Rider, man. When you look at the night sky.
What do you guys think about Tom Hardy's Max?
He's grand.
I liked him.
Oh, he's fine. I did actually. I really liked the fact that it was a Mad Max film where he didn't have to be the primary character.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing. A lot of people were like saying this about this movie, where they're like, "Why doesn't he do anything?" It's like you haven't seen Road Warrior, where he just shows up and kind of sits back for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
For like half the fucking movie before he decides, "Oh yeah, I'm going to do something now."
But that's, you're experiencing Mad Max world with Max, but it doesn't mean that he's. Yeah. The one who, he's not a big protagonist in a way.
There was, I guess we should talk about it. There's the MRA outcry about this movie. This movie,
it's not featured, Mad Maxine.
This movie featured women doing things, and as such, they were very
not allowed.
They were very, very, very angry. Mm. I think that was before anyone knew about like the many mothers, the grannies. And good things God. Like that. Like, I mean,
a lot of them had only seen the trailer, and the trailer was enough to put them off because they were like, where's Max?
The MRAs probably still don't know about it because a lot of them refused to watch it because they were like, women are in this movie.
I do agree, though, with Mark Kermode about the sexual politics being a bit weird.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like,
I agree with that.
I said this to you, like, I'd heard all these things about, I'd read all that stuff about the whole men's rights thing
mm-hmm.
and saying it was all female. Thing and like a lot of people were saying like, oh, it's a real female empowered movie. Then the first thing you see is these women in these skimpy outfits and all, and I mean, I appreciate that, you know,
they do get more clothes on during the movie, don't they?
Yeah, but as it goes, like, you know, for their first time seeing them, they're very scantily clad, and I get the idea is that they're getting away from their sex dungeon essentially, so I get that character wise and all it suits, but you know, in terms of, you know, big feminist movement-y kind of thing, it doesn't exactly grab me as the most kind of, you know, on the nose woman power kind of moment, you know. It feels a little bit in that kind of vein of, you know, hot women in an action film.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but that's it. I mean, I know it's supposed to be that, but I wouldn't have ever cared or thought about it unless the fact going into the film, there'd been all this kind of hubbub before it.
I certainly don't think of it as a majorly feminist exercise, to be honest. I don't.
See, I don't think it was intended anyway.
I don't think it was intended to be at all. I think what Charlize Theron said when she was interviewed about it was that he just sees men and women as equals. So he just saw that the women should have the same storylines as the men. That's all it was.
That's what feminism is.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the thing.
It's not a feminist essay.
But it is. But see, that's the thing. People expect something to be that's very feminist to be like, very like, I am woman, hear me roar. Whereas
that's modern feminism, though.
That's not modern feminism. That's rad feminism.
That's modern feminism.
It's not. Feminism is both groups being on the same and equal footing and not making a big deal about it.
But that hasn't been the case for fucking 10 years. Nowadays, what feminism is Furiosa should be the only character featured, and that's it.
That's Tumblr feminism. That's not proper feminism.
I realize it's not proper feminism, but that's predominant.
I think it's just internet predominant, though. It is just a lot of loud people yelling. It's those people that we know who, you know, they yell loud so they can be heard for something that they don't really need to be yelling to be heard.
On that note, though, did you find Jurassic World sexist?
Actually, no. Well, remember, we were talking about that clip that
Joss Whedon said was sexist, 60s era sexism.
And, like, out of context, it did seem that way. Like, I remember I was saying to you in the car right back from Insidious. And it did seem that way, in a way, to me when I saw it. But in context of the film, it just goes with the rest of the film, really.
But, like, everyone's saying, oh, she's nothing compared to Laura Dern. That was a completely different time.
Oh, that's different. I don't understand.
I don't care.
But like, I mean, that entire film, I actually thought Chris Pratt was not quite the hero of the film. In
I agree.
I thought he was the hero. I thought he was actually slightly bumbling in it, and that's why I always think it's weird when people talk about him being the Indiana Jones style character.
He didn't want to do it.
He's a bit more like his character from Guardians of the Galaxy than anything else, I would have thought.
I agree with you completely. And actually, Colin Trevorrow said before it was released that she's the real protagonist and nobody believed him, but he was right. She is the real protagonist. I don't know. People rush to call anything feminist or anything sexist.
Right.
Well, I think stop being fucking offended by a woman wearing heels. Women can do whatever they want. If she can run in heels, good for her.
I was going to say he did get the Vagina Monologues lady in to coach all the wives.
Oh, that's true.
The
wives scared me. That was weird.
That's the thing. I see a lot of people were giving... Some people did give out about it. Some people on Tumblr... They were like, he used them as sex slaves. And it's like, yes.
But of course. That's some part of the plot. That's why you care for them.
It's part of the plot.
But of course he did. What?
This is the... I don't know. There are some things that you have to... that you have to accept in terms of a narrative.
Yeah.
Your bad guys being bad is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doing horrible things to people without a doubt.
Even if those bad guys have somewhat sympathetic moments. Like, there's that moment where he's holding...
The baby?
Not the baby when he's holding your one.
Oh, Rosie Newton Whiteley.
Yeah, he like...
Mrs. Statham.
He like tries to warn her. Or, like, there's all these... Like, he has all these weird, like, tiny little touches, humanizing touches to him, but he's still ultimately bad. And
of course.
That's the message of the movie. So it's kind of... When you portray something in your film, you're not really 100% endorsing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like The Human Centipede where that is when endorsing it, you know?
I really like the first Human Centipede. It really disturbs me. I just don't like the other two because they're shit.
More
on that later.
There was someone, I read something where someone was like, why aren't there no fat people in this movie?
There are fat people in
the
movie.
And it's like, because they're starving in the fucking desert.
But there are definitely some fat people.
That's the reality of the wasteland that they live in.
Well, I think it's awful when films decide they have to have a broad spectrum of different ethnicities and different types.
Totally agree with you. Because once they start doing it on purpose, you're going to notice it and be offended by it. Because you're going to be like, they're doing this on purpose.
It is the black friend in a horror movie or, you know, the smart Asian.
I'm just supposed to smile, stay out of the conversation and say things like, damn, shit, and that is whack.
And I do have friends who I know are like members of certain minorities who are like, every time they put me in a movie, they put someone like me in a movie, it's just a fucking stereotype or it's trying really, really hard to be culturally appropriate and it just seems like really tacked on. And it's like, no, just write what you fucking know.
I just feel like cast the right people for the parts and let that be the end of it. This is like, can you guys remember like 10, 15 years ago when this shit didn't, or at least we weren't hearing about it because we didn't have the internet? Now everyone's offended by everything. I'm so offended because she's wearing heels. But then they would have been offended if she stopped to put on boots because they would have been like, why is she doing that? Oh, this is taking me out of it now. You know what I mean?
Why are we telling a woman what she can and can't wear?
Exactly. Like if Furiosa wandered out in heels, you'd be kind of like, why is she wearing that? But hey, maybe she's comfortable. Bryce Dallas Howard actually practiced in those heels for weeks to make sure she could run in them. And good for you. Plus, there's that really funny bit where she ties her shirt and she goes, I'm ready. And he's like, right.
That's it. Like, I mean, I thought that was a funny moment and all. At the same time, I was also thinking, like, that's ammunition for people to go saying it's a sexist film.
But it's not.
But it's funny. But it's exactly what Peter says. I mean, like, the real, true kind of, you know, the definition of more of quality is going to be where it doesn't matter which way people go with those things.
I just feel like, but this, in Jurassic World and in Mad Max, the women are running the show.
Mm.
Like, she's running the place in Jurassic World. Mm. And Furiosa's running the place as well.
IndieWire gave it a really bad review, and they seem to be trying to stick up for their bad review nonstop. They did the Bechdel test,
whatever, it's flawed anyway.
It's really flawed. Like, I know it was only supposed to be a funny aside when it was created anyway, but they decided they're going to do it on Jurassic World to see if it passed it and all. And for some reason, they decided it didn't. And
it definitely
did. I was watching it, like, you know, their entire reasoning is that, you know, there is a lot of female characters who are named, who talk to each other, but you know, when they're not
dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are
female.
No, are they counting dinosaurs?
They don't, no.
Okay.
But like when they're talking about the women, like, you know, women talk to each other, but it's like, okay, it's a mother talking to her sister about the kids and all, so that doesn't count.
One conversation. You know,
and then suddenly, if it's anything to do with the dinosaurs, then it doesn't count. It's like, why doesn't that count? Because the dinosaurs are a man, or the man's concept, the masculine concept in the film or something like that.
But, oh my God, get a life.
They're not men. They're not even male.
But
so it's I'm sorry, I just read that thing on IndieWire. I have to show it to you because it is completely and utterly nonsense.
It's plot relevant. What do they have to do? Like, yeah. sit around
she's
and talk
in
about
charge.
Their asses? Yeah. Like, be like,
but she's in charge, and we see her several fucking times making the decisions. It's not as if she's going, oh, hang on a minute, Chris Pratt. Actually, I don't know what to do here.
Like,
the worst part of the film, sorry to interrupt you, the worst part of the film, and a lot of people have pointed out, is when she saves Chris Pratt and then the kids refer to him as her boyfriend and they go, oh, your boyfriend's cool, and she looks pissed off because of course she does, because she's like, but I would the but that's,
see, that's what I thought was, I thought that was like a nice little
I liked that
pointing it out
there. I liked that, I thought good, and she should be pissed off, she shouldn't be going, yeah, isn't he great, she should be like, but I saved him, what? She does save him,
but
that's
like when they're in the car and they say that they prefer to be with him than with her,
and she's pissed
like,
off.
I was like, that is nonsense. Anyway.
But then you're thinking, obviously they're men. If they were women, they'd want to be with her because, you know, whatever. But we should move on to another movie.
Which car are you going to be in?
Whichever one you are.
So did you enjoy the romance in Mad Max?
What romance?
Oh, their relationship just made me feel so.
Did you enjoy
it? Nooks and Riley Keough?
No, I'm just messing. Did you enjoy
like
there not being a romance?
There was a romance. Nooks fell in love with Riley Keough.
Okay, but did you enjoy there not being like literally it
didn't
like. Didn't
affect me.
No.
I don't need a romance.
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was asking if you were.
I wouldn't have needed a romance in Jurassic World 2. If they had have ended up just being mates, I would have been like, yeah, grandma.
That's it. I mean, that's. We want to see relationships. It doesn't mean they have to be romantic relationships.
Yeah, I actually would prefer like a boy girl friendship. Okay, we should very quickly talk about the biggest horror release of the year so far,
Wait,
which was.
I want to mention one more thing about Mad Max.
Go on.
Game's coming out on September 1st against Metal Gear Solid.
Oh.
I'm really worried that like no one's going to buy it. But I have noticed that some of the things from the trailers kind of look a little counter to this movie. And perhaps this movie's sexual politics. Or maybe just lack of sexual politics.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about it. It's kind of weird to see Max kiss someone, for example. It's like,
who's he kissing?
Some woman with her tits out.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, woman with her tits out. I mean, okay, woman with her tits out is Mad Max. But Max kissing someone who has her tits out isn't very Mad Max.
No.
Like, he lost his family and he kind of hasn't gotten over it. Anyway.
Let's pretend it's not canon if that's the way it's going
to
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to that game because you basically just drive around and smash into things like the whole time.
But we are going to talk about It Follows, which came out the start of this year. But yes, It Follows. Loved what you sent me about that letter, the person who didn't get It Follows.
Oh yeah, Jesus.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, so I mean, It Follows is basically just like, it's an STD horror film. Like, you know, you have a ghost STD. You know, you have sex with someone, and then that means that this ghost thing starts following them, and if it catches them, it'll kill them.
And then you got to pass it on. Wait. But if you pass it on to somebody and then that person gets killed, it starts following you again.
Yeah.
Wait, like The Ring, but
it's
instead
a,
of
sort
of
it's a bit like that.
A bit like The Ring.
I forgot the name of that for a second. I was like, I was like Junji Ito. No, that's the guy who wrote this.
It's like that, except it's a physical thing. So right away, like, you know, when the premise of the film sort of sets up when a guy has sex with
Micah Monroe,
yeah,
who
you know,
we interviewed at Fright Fest, y'all.
She's very good in the film. It's a very weird.
She is terrific.
It's a very art house kind of film in a lot of ways. Like, the dialogue is very kind of.
She has a weird
mumblecore and stuff like that.
She has a weird voice though. It lends itself very well to that kind of material. She's very like, she talks a bit like Mads Mikkelsen. Like, she's got toffee in her mouth.
It's really weird.
I stab you now.
No, don't please.
It's very weird after seeing her in The Guest, because she's a very different character in The Guest than she is in this.
She's great in The Guest as well, though. I think she's gonna be.
Perhaps Will, you are the.
Maybe you are the one who is the bald.
Yeah, you've been killing people. It's not me.
So it was a very good, like, I thought it was a very cool film in terms
Loved
of
it.
Like, I just liked it. Like, the soundtrack was amazing. There was certain, like, there's a lot of long shots in and stuff, and it did feel a bit like they were just going back and forth between the same places, from like the house to the to the sea house or whatever.
But I loved
I
love that it's set in Detroit. I love this new trend of setting horror movies in sort of dilapidated Detroit. I think it's a really nice touch because it is kind of like certain areas of it are like a ghost town, and it really works.
Yeah,
it just gets it out of the real white bread neighborhood kind of thing that horror has been kind of stuck in for a good while.
What was funny about
there's
follows
this weird guy, he keeps going, can you fly, Bobby?
The weird thing about It Follows, though, was that the director, David Robert Mitchell, everyone was like, oh, it's an homage to Carpenter. It turns out he, like, didn't know anything, or he's claiming not to know anything really of Carpenter, and that it wasn't intentional, whatever. I don't know if it was an homage to Carpenter or if it was just kind of a modern take on that, on what he did very well.
Isn't he the guy who did The Guest?
No, that's Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this guy apparently has no connection to horror in general and wouldn't be a horror fan.
Yeah, and but he just kind of got lucky, basically.
Well, like, I mean, you know, he does. It is a very sort of throwback to 80s kind of horror films in a lot of ways. I mean, like, Ty West does things that are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with this one, like, I mean, yeah, you look at the soundtrack, it's completely 80s. The style, it's all very long shots. It's all, everything kind of takes a while. The fact that it's, you know, it's time neutral. It doesn't, you know,
it's,
you
can't very, really, yeah.
The TV is an old style TV playing like shows from the 50s. But it feels like it's an 80s film. But then there's a girl reading a book off a seashell thing that's
it's quite very modern.
But there's no mobile phones. You know?
That's becoming a trend in horror as well. It props up again in A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which we'll talk about later, where it's sort of what time is this actually set in, but it doesn't matter. Mm. It just adds to the atmosphere. But I loved it.
I think it's for world building, to be honest.
I disagree. I think it can work. It's not in every kind of genre, but definitely in horror, I think it can. It adds to the disorientation. Because with horror, you just want something that's, you know, familiar so that you can kind of set an anchor down and be like, okay, I get it now. I'm not scared. But if they take that away from you, where it looks like your world, but not really like your world, it makes it much creepier.
Mm. That's it as well. Like, I mean, at the moment we are going through an 80s kind of style trend.
Definitely.
And stuff like that. Like, it's all come back again. So,
but I mean, it follows, like, I know I read some stuff where people said it was overhyped, which I thought was strange because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see anything about It Follows until I saw one trailer in the cinema and it was about 5 seconds long and it was literally static shot of her in hanging out of the car with the flowers and then just the title, just It Follows. And immediately I was hooked. I didn't think it was oversaturated at all. I can think of a few films that were, the likes of, you know, The Last Exorcism, all those kind of movies where they have a massive marketing campaign behind them. But with this one, I went into it totally cold, and I just thought,
I caught it, like, it was like the last screening of it that I could catch, and I caught it, and like, I don't, like, what I think happened with it, or what seems to happen with it, is that the fact that, like, it got a lot of good reviews from.
You okay? Sorry.
Jesus, you're gonna break if you do that.
It's broke. Keep going.
Sorry.
Yeah, so like a lot of genre press were giving it positive reviews, and then
people tend to turn on them.
So, but then like it seemed like it was doing successful, it was getting good numbers. So instead of releasing it on VOD in America, they decided to push it for a couple of weeks and release it theatrical.
And then it ended up getting a massive theatrical release on top of that.
It got a big release. It didn't do amazing, but people were suddenly, you know,
there was demand.
It was a little horror that could, but then of course you have to have people who kind of go like, oh no, this is stupid. This is, you know, again, stupid horror film, whatever. It's always that kind of thing. People are going to hate what's popular, what seems like, you know, if it's not what they want, you know, if it's not like, you know, if it's not like some sort of American Hustle kind of film or whatever, you know?
Or the Babadook. If it's not the fucking Babadook, people...
Yeah, like
Let me just say this. I don't understand what the difference is with It Follows and the Babadook. They're both fucking indie, films.
You know what happened, though, is everyone gave all their goodwill to the indie horror over the Babadook. So
and
they
then
ran
turned
out of it.
On It Follows.
As far as they're concerned, like, It Follows is just something that's kind of coming in the way. Like, you can see the people sitting there going, like, oh, It Follows. Without even giving a chance, kind of like, oh, no, sure. If Babadook is exactly where it is, you know, you don't need to bother with this other thing. I bet it's bad. I bet it's boring, you know?
I don't understand hating something because it's popular. Mm. I don't understand hating something because it's mainstream. Yeah. I certainly don't understand people who say that last year was a much better year for horror.
No, I don't think so at all. Like, I mean,
purely because because there's sequels or because there's remakes or what's your fucking problem?
We ran out of stuff to do podcasts about last year.
Mm-hmm.
That we absolutely did. Yeah. That's a good point. We definitely could not have done a whole year of podcasts on just what's out right now.
But like, even generally, like, while we were in the midst of stuff last year, I didn't think there was much that really kind of jumped out and was amazing. Like, I was very underwhelmed by The Babadook when
too.
It came out. Like, I mean, there was certainly some really good films. I mean, Starry Eyes really stuck with me since I've seen it.
I love Starry Eyes. I love Cheap Thrills. That was last year as well. They're not really getting it till this year. Obviously, we saw Digging Up the Marrow a year early. I bought that on DVD, actually. And I settled down to watch it Saturday night. And I thought, I'm going to turn all the lights off and do it properly. It definitely won't scare me because I've already seen it. And it fucking freaked the shit out of me. It really gets me.
That's what I got. I was watching it again.
And that
exact same part that got me in the cinema the first time.
The chicken. Damn, I just, oh my God, it freaks me out.
But like, that's it though. I think people are, I think The Babadook did well more out of people's wanting something a bit different. And the fact that It Follows is about teenagers and sex, they're going to go like, oh, it's trying to be The Babadook, but it's actually going to be teenagers and sex. So it's just being a shameless shell of it.
I
think that's what the problem is with it. And I don't know, I think enough people have liked it that it's done well, and hopefully we'll see more films. Like, again, it's like what I thought with The Babadook, which I didn't really like, but if more people
try and do something different.
Yeah. If people were into that kind of film, you know?
I just feel like It Follows, to me anyway, is a smarter film, and I feel like it's a more inventive film, and I feel like in a lot of ways it's a braver film, because the Babadook retreats into that, you know, the family and the one location and the monster, whereas It Follows, it does try to do something new, but it's still something familiar.
But it is that kind of thing of, like, you know, it is a very simple idea of just an unstoppable force kind of coming for you. And I thought, like,
the
there's some moments...
immovable object.
Like, there's a bit on the beach that terrified the crap out of me when
With
I saw
with the leg. Oh, my God. Oh, that was the start of it.
Oh, no, not even the start one. The one where they're all sitting on the beach.
Oh, with the what? Yeah.
And, like, you know, trying not to spoil stuff or whatever, but I've seen it written around a lot. People kind of deriding the scene where the kids go and try and electrocute it.
But that's what you would do.
I thought that was actually a good idea, because that's exactly what...
That's what we would do if that was happening. See, the genius of It Follows, Peter, is that it can take a form of somebody you recognize or somebody you've never seen before. So there's these static long shots where everyone's just sitting around having a chat like we are, and you're constantly looking into the frames to see if there's anyone walking towards them. And then you're thinking, is it somebody or is it just nobody? Because, I mean, how many times are people just walking? Like, I tweeted the other day that somebody was walking behind me and I felt like I was in It Follows, because he was just walking so slow, so deliberately. And it was like,
That's
the genius of
when
it.
I went to see
the thing.
It is a bit like the thing.
Like,
it
I saw it by myself, and when I was walking back to the car park, through the car park to my car, I was freaked out by all the people around me. I was like looking around, like, is that it?
Yeah.
And it was like, that's the thing, like, you know, the more and more it went on, like, I got the soundtrack, and when I was walking with the soundtrack in my ears, I started getting a bit freaked out and all. And it's the fact, like, I didn't find the film very big and jumpy when I was watching it, but
certainly
it stuck
not.
With,
it,
like,
it
was
bleeds.
Tense.
It bleeds into you.
It actually, it's probably the closest to the kind of tension that The Shining has.
It
follows.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, it leads.
I fucking love that movie. God damn it. Have you watched that recently?
Which one?
Predator.
Oh, no.
Not recently. It's
so good.
It is.
That is a fucking movie and a half. That it's like, there's so much, like, macho bullshit going on. It's amazing.
like the very first part where Arnold Schwarzenegger and your man, like, do the high five, and they're just showing off their muscles. I love it.
Yeah, and
they got,
like,
you pushing too many pistols.
Fucking huge tumors just appear on their arms.
Did you see where Arnie pretended to be a wax figure and then freaked everyone out?
That's great.
No. And then it was like, you made the baby cry, and he was like, sorry.
But then he meets an Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator impersonator in Hollywood. It's like, I'll be back.
It's good.
But the thing is, though, like, we've seen some people who kind of turned against It Follows. I really think it's because everyone was giving Babadook a lot of time.
I think it's a classic in the making.
More like It Swallows.
But like, there was a review of Poltergeist that you sent on to me that kind of decided to really deride into It Follows, and also did it for Unfriended, which I haven't seen.
I will talk very briefly about Unfriended after you finish talking, sorry. Go on.
Well, that's it. Like, what do you want to talk about briefly? I'm going to try and move briefly.
Because I know you haven't seen Unfriended, so there's no point in me dwelling on it. Unfriended is in the same vein as Open Windows, as The Den, which we saw.
Den. The Den is amazing.
At Fright Fest, and The Den. The Den really, honestly scared the shit out of us. When it was being introduced by the Fright Fest organizer, I'm so sorry, I can't remember which one it was. Let's say Paul. Anyway, he said he watched it on his laptop and he was like, it actually really got under my skin. Now, when Unfriended came out, it was really well received by mainstream critics, by the likes of Mark Kermode. But horror critics seemed to mostly turn against it. And Wicked Horror, the girl who reviewed it for Wicked Horror, just completely tore it apart. She just fucking hated it. And I wrote a follow-up to it saying that actually, no, I went to see it in the cinema. I wasn't expecting anything of it because obviously The Den was such a strong film. But I thought it was one of the most inventive horror movies of this kind of subgenre of, you know, internet-based or computer-based, because the whole thing takes place on this one girl's computer screen. You know, she's hopping into Skype, she's going into iMessage, whatever. Whereas with The Den, you do move around a little bit. It does kind of hop where it's on somebody's phone or it's whatever. But, and likewise, The Den, not a spoiler, but it's, you know, a real person after her, whereas Unfriended, it's a supernatural force. But, you know, considering it was... You know, it was all filmed in the one house and they were all really calling each other on Skype, which is cool. But considering the fact that, you know, it all takes place it's kind of like, it's almost like one long take. And it just gets creepier and creepier and creepier. People were pissed off because a lot of the deaths kind of happen off screen. But see, I love that. I love the suggestion. Like, there's this one bit with a blender and there's no soundtrack apart from when the ghost starts playing something on her, whatever, her iTunes. But there's this one part with a blender and it goes...
what?
Yeah, because the ghost starts kind of controlling their computers.
Oh no, Linkin Park again. I didn't like the song.
You guys, I don't like this, I promise. But there's this part with a...
Oh, my porn folders keep opening. God, these aren't mine.
That's funny because there is stuff like that, because they end up being pulled into a game of Never Have I Ever and all their secrets are spilled. And one of the biggest ones is that the main girl, who's supposed to be like a virginal character, has cheated on her boyfriend with his best mate, and they put up like a video of it and stuff. Like, it's quite... I thought it was quite nasty. And this part with the blender just really got to me, where it's this guy and he puts his hand in the blender and then he kind of puts his head in it. But it keeps flicking in and out. There's another one with a curling iron, and it's just... A lot of people had a problem with the fact that they're all horrible characters. Again, I love that because I love slasher movies, so I love watching them get picked off. I thought they were all picked off in really horrible ways. You know, it was written kind of on the hop, because obviously the only parts that needed to be written were the, you know, when they're typing and stuff, and I thought it was all very realistic. But one of the things that I really, really loved about it, it has a really strong anti-bullying message, because the whole thing is, I want you to fucking admit that you did this, and none of them will admit to it, and they all perish as a result. And I like that. Now, somebody on Facebook had to come along and be like, but how is killing them not the same thing? And it's like, it's not the same thing.
It's ghostly revenge.
It's ghostly revenge. It's
from
not
beyond the grave.
Now, I will say this much. There, you know, the kind of the big twist at the end about who is the person who actually did it. I would have preferred if that person, I'm not going to say who it is, was allowed to live. Because I feel like it would have been a stronger anti-bullying message that this person was just left with, it is one of the girls, obviously, was just left with Facebook and with everybody knowing it. And that she, you know, she's fucked them because everyone's going to hate her.
Or
I
she
thought
kills
that,
herself in but, poetic kind of...
But that's what I think, because I would have thought that would have been a stronger message for today's teenagers. That, you know, there are consequences. And what are you going to do now? Because their whole lives are online. That's not what happens, obviously. There has to be like a little screamer. It's the weakest part of it, is this fucking weird CGI thing. But... You know, it starts off with a really horrible video of a suicide. The video in question that has been released to humiliate the girl who killed herself is really nasty as well. And I thought it was really, really effective. Like, I read something saying it was a ripoff of The Den. They were made at the same fucking time. Unfriended was actually probably made first because it took 8 months to edit the thing. But I'm actually getting so sick of people claiming to be horror fans and then shitting all over something like this. Something like this is way more inventive than Paranormal Activity 20. Do you know what I mean? And yet people will flock in their millions to see that shit. But you had a similar problem with Poltergeist and the reaction to Poltergeist.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just don't think, like, people sort of taking this weird stance against these kind of things. Like, I mean, I think there've been, like, that sounds... I'm looking forward to seeing it, seeing Unfriended, but people seem to
have
taken...
I hope you like it now. Yeah. We did really like it, like, even Gavin.
But like that, and It Follows, it's weird for people to kind of just kind of dismiss those. Again, I think whenever there's a big thing, again, people getting behind Babadook and stuff for that, I think a lot of people's goodwill just, like, once they've kind of, that they've championed their thing, they don't like the idea that there's another horse that they should be betting on. It feels like too much effort for them.
Yeah, or
as
they're
supposed to just being able to like everything.
Or,
you know,
like, they're giving it away or something. Yeah. Like, you know, oh, I can't like too many things because then it'll look like I'm too soft and of an opinion.
Yeah.
I think, and I wrote this because I reviewed Poltergeist for Gore Press, which was just relaunched. And it was the first site the two of us wrote for, which is pretty cool.
With Steven Spielberg, huh?
Yeah, where I mistakenly wrote PH instead of V. But, you know, when I reviewed it, I said, like, shame. I'm sorry, hating something just because it's a remake is bullshit to me.
Oh, completely.
That's counterproductive. Yeah. There are terrific remakes. Maniac was fucking exceptional. It way outdid the original. I have written down here as well The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which we didn't get theatrically. It only played at the Jemison Film Festival, but the UK got it theatrically. Is a fucking brilliant remake. Now, they're saying it's more of a meta sequel, but I feel like that's kind of them messing with us. But it's, you know, people are comparing it to Scream. It's not really that kind of thing, but, you know, close enough. But that's a movie that way outdoes the original.
What I saw from it, it reminded me a lot of Zodiac.
That's exactly what it's like, because obviously Zodiac, you know, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, it deals with a real murder spree as well.
Well,
much like
original.
Zodiac did. Sorry, the original Town That Dreaded Sundown. The new Town That Dreaded Sundown, it includes the movie as part of its narrative, and it's become like a thing in this town of Texarkana. But again, I feel like people, you know, did people have very strong feelings about The Town That Dreaded Sundown? Like, why do you care? Yeah. Give it a chance.
I actually watched the original. I haven't seen the remake yet, or whatever it is.
It's much better.
But I'm looking forward. I kind of heard that thing about it being a meta sequel or whatever, so I decided to watch the original before I watch the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing, like...
The original's a bit goofy. Like, it's a bit campy in parts.
It is. Oh, it's completely... It's a bit weird point. Like, I mean, I watched it and I didn't mind watching it. And it's not one I'm going to revisit.
No, me neither. Likewise with Maniac. I like Maniac. I don't love Maniac. Because I think...
The first one had a little bit of controversy.
It did.
Yeah, well, it was made... for some people, it was kind of a little bit too soon.
Oh, so I heard.
Because they never caught that guy.
No, they didn't. And the whole idea behind it was like, what if he's still out there?
Yeah, like, the first movie literally ends with, like...
Him waiting in line for the movie. And you just see his feet.
We never caught him. He's still out
but
there.
But so it's exactly the same as Zodiac, then.
But there was other stuff. There was a lot of characters where...
Based on real people.
Adapted kind of strangely in ways that, like, their families or not surviving people, but people who were...
Were
kind of really, like... there were certain characters who were... I think someone was having an affair with someone in the first one.
Yeah, there was a lot...
The people who that were based on were like, what the fuck? Come on.
But
it happens.
Like, I really liked it. But sorry, back to Poltergeist. Like, I mean, like I said, I reviewed it for GorePress, and my feelings with Poltergeist is, you know, and we've talked about this before at length. Poltergeist is very beloved of genre fans. I don't really understand why, because it's not scary. And it's kids horror, which I love, don't get me wrong. I don't understand why you have such a problem with it being made that you're going to dismiss it for no good reason. If you're dismissing it just because it's a remake, you shouldn't be talking about horror. You shouldn't be writing about horror. You're not a horror fan.
Yeah. Now, like, I mean, I absolutely adore the original Poltergeist.
Yeah, as do I.
Like, I did find it scary, and I still find it scary, possibly because of the original stuff. Mm. But, like, the first one, I'll still watch and kind of get a bit creeped out by, whereas the second and third one, I'm terrified when I was a kid, but they really don't hold them. They're kind of rubbish films.
Mm.
But I've been part of this Poltergeist group on Facebook, and it's a lot of people who are quite fanatical about it, and I've been watching them, watching all the trailers,
mm-hmm.
all the reactions to it, kind of comparing it to the original, and under...
Which is unfair in itself.
Oh, completely, and everyone was getting very kind of, you know, I don't want to say apocalyptic, but, you know, very down on it. And then, you know, when the film came out, and they all went to see it, and everyone's review was kind of the same. And my own feelings on the film were quite similar, where, you know, I watched it, it doesn't hold a candle to the original. Like, it has a lot of the sort of plot points are there, whatever... But for the most part, it's just kind of a very average kind of film. Like, there's certain things I liked, a lot of things I didn't like. It felt, for me, I think Insidious is probably the closest thing to an adequate remake of
Poltergeist. And James Wan said that himself on Facebook, or on Twitter, rather.
I completely think so. And, like, I think, you know, The Conjuring has an awful lot of it as well, you know?
It does.
Films about a haunting, and then the ghost catchers come in.
But, I mean, how do you feel about this, you know, this blind hatred of it?
Oh, like, it's complete and utter bullshit, you know?
It is.
I don't think, you know... I watch, whenever I see these films, I have to take it in the context of, like, you know I've seen this other film. My other film that I like is still going to be there. I can watch this thing separate from that.
Exactly.
And I don't know, a lot of people don't seem to sort of...
Don't seem to grasp that.
You know, I mean, I hate Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I don't, like, I've rewatched, I gave it a chance, I still don't think it holds up.
I have a counterpoint.
Yes?
I have a counterpoint to this. All horror movie sequels are just remakes of the last movie with the ante-upped.
That's not far off, yeah, that's the thing.
Probably,
like,
true.
Like... Same for the Poltergeist films. I mean, you know, I mean, this could have been considered a sequel. I know a lot of people thought at one point it might have actually been a sequel, and they just weren't going to admit it.
Mm.
Like, I mean,
I think that's kind of cool. That's my favorite kind of remake, where it turns out that it's like, no, this is like a history repeating kind of thing.
Yeah, like the time they tried it sometime.
Yeah, like, I mean, even the thing prequel thing was more had an element of that. And, like, the Evil Dead remake as well had that.
I was going to say to you, it's similar to the Evil Dead remake, because that was on when I was over in Newcastle, and I made my mum watch it, and then she walked out in disgust. But I think when you came back from the Evil Dead remake, I remember you said that it was average, and people thought that you were kind of saying it was shit. But I think, for me personally, Poltergeist was an average film. I thought it was funny, intentionally so, not like, oh my God, this is so bad, I'm laughing at it. I thought the effects were... competent. I thought there was a great sequence towards the end when they go into the kind of the netherworld and they're all sort of like Death Eaters. I thought that was fine. You know, Jared Harris, like, Christ, that's not an Irish accent.
But enough,
you know,
like, from the trailer, I really thought I was going to hate him, but I ended up thinking he was fine.
He was absolutely fine.
I thought it was a bit too much paint by numbers compared to, with the original. Like, it felt like it went, okay.
It definitely hit the same marks.
There's a storm, there was a tree, there's that closet, there's the ghost hunters, there's the after, there's the other world. And
it definitely hit the same marks.
It felt weirdly paced. Like, the first half, it felt very different than the second half. I didn't feel like it was a heart. I didn't feel like I cared for the characters nearly as much. I was able to watch it in a fun kind of way. Like, you know, I mean, Gil Keenan did Monster House as well.
Which is good.
But it felt comparable to that kind of...
Monster House.
Yeah, it's fun.
It felt kind of comparable to that kind of thing. Like, there was a few jumps in it. There was a lot of stuff that was in the trailer, so I wasn't freaked out by it.
Exactly, yeah.
I didn't care for the characters. It didn't feel like there was a huge amount of pressure. It felt quite new. I didn't like the other world part. I didn't like, you know, when they... I hate seeing the other side of things. It's the same problem I had with Insidious.
Is Insidious, it looked like shit. It looked better in Insidious 3 than it ever did in the other two.
But like, I mean, I don't really buy that, you know, the other world happens to be an exact replica of ours and that like, this is the gateway into it. So it's...
I think it's a bit lazy.
It is. It feels really... Like, it is lazy. It's like, you know, it's kind of a rotted version of it or whatever. But it never... I never buy it. I never like it.
I did like it in Insidious 3, though.
Yeah.
More so than the other
It was better in Insidious 3.
Than the other two. Because it wasn't just dry ice.
Yeah, but it was really cool in... The Silent Hill games.
Mm. But that's different. Silent Hill is a bit different because that's part of the horror is that initially you don't actually know you're in a different world isn't it?
Or it was really good in Jacob's Ladder.
But I mean, when it comes to Poltergeist, I don't understand why you're so offended by it. It's a perfectly serviceable film. Yeah. Is it scary? No, not really. Yeah. But I mean, neither was fucking Oculus and everyone was creaming their pants over that. And that wasn't anything.
I think Joey, she goes see an apple and...
It's glass. And that was in the fucking trailer.
It's not an apple.
I mean, I don't know. I just...
It wasn't an apple. You think you're eating an apple right now?
Think you can?
It's actually glass. But yeah, I don't... I'm getting very, very, very tired of everybody shitting all over horror while simultaneously claiming to be a fan of it. If you're a fan of it, support it and have an actual opinion. Your opinion can't just be, no, that's shit. Yeah. Because why?
That's it. I mean, I find like
horror's trash for babies.
I watch films like I watch horror films on to kind of relax to unwind and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I watch a lot of bad films and all that, but like a lot of the time, you know, you watch it, you kind of turn off. Sometimes you watch something that really kind of gets you. Sometimes you watch something that gets under your skin. And I mean, I try not to be too negative on films when I can help it. You know, it takes a lot for a film to really kind of make me go, oh, I really didn't like that. I have a big problem with that.
Yeah, or I need to stake my claim that it's, you should not watch this. I wouldn't tell people not to watch Poltergeist.
Yeah, that's it. And I think we're in a weird critical world at the moment with like the sort of whirlwind of, say, like online critics or like the bloggers who go out there to purposely kind of either, you know, sing the praise of something so highly or else to sort of, you know, kick it to death as best they can.
The internet has given everyone a voice and everyone's chosen to use that voice to bitch about movies.
Exactly. But I mean, it is true though. I mean, like, you know, I think I prefer like the things like you do where you try to be a bit more balanced. And, like, that's,
oh, thank
I
you.
Know, like when you see like a Kumar Kamo thing, that's what he does is he can hate something, but he also can be aware that he has his personal preferences. He always gives the disclaimer. Like, he very rarely will just flat out go, this is a bad film.
And he's a massive Poltergeist fan and he didn't have a massive problem with the Poltergeist remake because he said, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems. I mean, there's that weird scene where they go for dinner with someone and all that.
And as kind of just exposition, it was built on a cemetery.
That's a bizarre scene.
And it was like, oh, okay then. Like, see.
But like, the whole say the line bit as well. I love that.
I loved it. But it was so funny because when we saw Insidious Chapter 3, and you wouldn't have noticed because you didn't see Poltergeist till afterwards, but they used the same plot point. It's an internet, like a ghost hunters kind of thing that they turn to help. I like that in modern horror. I think that's good. I think that's interesting.
We go to the internet. That's our go-to. That's what we do. We don't use the yellow pages or anything
like
that.
But you probably would do. You probably would go to the internet and be like, hey, this weirdo. But I mean, yeah, I think remakes aren't all terrible. I know people shit all over Halloween. I really like Halloween, as you know. I think he did try to do something different and then he kind of maybe got cold feet halfway through. Or maybe they were putting pressure on him. I don't know. But I mean, something like Maniac is terrific. Like I said, The Town That Dreaded Sundown is terrific. I really enjoyed Texas Chainsaw 3D. I thought that was... I don't consider it a remake. I thought maybe it was more of a kind of a modern sequel kind of thing. But I think for, you know, one of my friends was writing about it actually the other day in a piece he wrote. He was saying, you know, don't pay too much attention to people who are listed under the critic section of IMDb because anybody can put their shit there.
Yep.
And I feel like that's absolutely true. You know, I don't think just, you know, it's a bit like what Ian Malcolm says. You don't stop to think if you should.
Mm.
You know, just because you can write this doesn't mean you have any right to do so.
Yeah.
And if you're going to say that something sucks, do you know what? I actually find it harder to convince people of why I love something because I think it's really easy to say something sucks. I think it's really easy to go, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, it's a shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even write about Human Centipede 3 or Human Centipede 2 and shit all over them. Like somebody like Scott Weinberg, he wrote about all three of them. And all three of them are very balanced reviews.
Mm.
Not one of them is going, oh my god, I hate this.
Ah, the best review I've heard for Centipede 3 has been literally just a description of, what's his name? Tom 6?
Tom 6.
Johnny 5? Whatever. Fucking Jimmy 6. Fucking... Oh, fuck, I can't remember what the name of that guy from fucking...
Nicky Six
shows up. You know, he's got his fucking walking cane. But yeah, no, that description of his fucking cameo in that movie.
oh, it's a trip, all right.
And it's like, oh, okay, so now I know I don't need to watch this movie.
But I will say this. I have people on Facebook who are going to see the three of them in a row and can't fucking wait. And I think, fair play.
Yeah.
That's what you like.
I'd always had my feeling what I thought it was going to end up being. Like, I thought...
And you were correct.
I was. Like, I'm happy about that. But, like, I mean, I don't think Humans Envy 3 is a good film. Like,
shall we talk about it briefly?
Very briefly, because we want to wrap this up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I saw it. Like, a lot of people have problems with Dietrich. Is that his name?
Dieter Laser is his name. Very well respected German actor, God help him.
They had a lot of problem. Like, a lot of people had a problem with his character. That he was loud and yelling. I thought that was his character. I thought that was quite grand.
It was more to do with bad direction. I don't think you can really blame him.
You know, the film felt really... Do you ever see... Fuck, what's the last one? It's not Bride of Reanimator. What's the third one? Beyond Reanimator, is that it?
Don't think so.
It's all set in a prison and it feels very cheap because it was very cheap. It felt like a very cheap film set in a prison.
Okay.
Where, like, kind of random acts of violence that don't really make much sense happen. I didn't think that they were all that effective. I didn't think they were creepy or anything.
Mm,
I agree. Just the sort of sexism, you know, the real, you know, the exploitation of
the porn
secretary,
star, and
yeah, who's like the shitty actress as she is anyway.
Lord,
but and like the actual centipede part is very clearly an afterthought at the end.
Because when you said it to me, I was like, "How much of the centipede is in it?" And you were like, "Fucking 2 minutes, nothing."
Yeah.
And it really was. And the whole thing about the first one, because I went back and read what Scott Weinberg and a few other people wrote about the first one. The whole thing about the first one was that they do throw you into it almost immediately.
Yeah.
The whole film is that fucking centipede, and you have to keep looking. You remember how sick I was watching that? I was just like, "Oh my god, I want to stop watching this."
The first one is all about the people in the centipede. The second one's about the centipede being made. The third one is about convincing someone to make the centipede, really.
Which is kind of,
it's a weird kind of backwards way of it. But like, it didn't really feel interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, I could see it was trying to be satirical and stuff. I didn't think it quite hit its marks in terms of those. It didn't feel like it was as clever as I thought it was.
But that's him all over, though.
Like, I think a lot of movies do things in the name of fucking satire, and it's not.
And a lot of bad it's good, and it's just so bad it's bad.
And, like,
I don't even know.
This isn't satirical. Especially with Johnny Five, whatever. I think he tries to be like, yeah, this is funny, this is a joke, ha ha ha. It's like, no, it's kind of not funny, and you're kind of a piece of shit. It's like in Friends where it's like, if she was joking...
It's very funny. But if she wasn't joking, she's stupid and kind of a racist.
Yeah, it's like...
But that's it. I mean, you can see what he was trying to go for. I don't think he hit the mark at all with it. I think the second one, he hit the mark a lot more with it.
I
know people don't quite agree with that all the time, but...
I think I really liked the first... I mean, the first one, I'd never watch it again, right? But I think it hit its mark because it was disturbing and weird and it was a great idea and it was horrifying and awful.
Mm.
Second one, couldn't give a shit. Third one, like, I kind of half watched it. I was a bit bored. Because, see, I don't know... We don't know him personally, so I don't want to say, oh my God, are you just an idiot? I don't think he is.
Mm.
But a lot of people have called to question, you know, a bit like what I'm saying about Neil Blomkamp. Was he just a one-hit wonder? Did he just get lucky the first time? But I mean, the first film was very well made.
I've seen
and very well shot.
To Uwe Boll.
I don't think he's that.
He's
level.
Not Uwe Boll.
But
no.
I think what happened though is I think the second one, because it had such the backlash, a lot of negative reviews. And I think it was because I think it's because it actually succeeded in what he was trying to do. But I think because of that, some people like me kind of saw the kind of. The over-the-top element that he was going for with it, the extreme over-the-top.
But it's a bit
and
like...
And then he kind of got a bit cocky with the third one.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Because if you take something like a Serbian film, we've talked before about how that's a very well-made film, it's a very well-shot film, it looks good, it sounds good, it moves along at a nice enough pace. People don't want to hear that.
Mm.
They just want to hear, ew, no, I'm not looking at that, it's gross. Mm. It was the same with The Human Centipede. What people missed was that the first Human Centipede in particular was actually a well-made film.
Oh, completely. I still think it's a detective story, really, you know?
I do too. I agree with you. And with the second one, you know, he did this nice thing in monochrome and it was quite cool and it was quite different. People didn't want to hear that.
Mm.
So now with the third one, like, I remember I read something online that was saying, oh, the reviews are probably already half written. And I'd agree with that. I think the majority of critics probably did go into it with half of it just, this is shit.
What's a better...
And they, you know, they can't. We can't really fault them.
What's
Sorry,
a better
on.
Film series? The Human Centipede series?
Yeah.
Or the Necromantic?
Necromantic.
But you guys know about Necromantic, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It was just recently re-released.
They re-released that?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Blu-ray.
Wow.
Came with the soundtrack and everything.
Yeah, it was a terrific disc.
But,
Having sex with dead bodies.
But like, I mean, that one, it has that thing where it has a shock moments, but it doesn't kind of come across in a shocking way. Whereas, you know, Tom Six is trying to be shocking, especially in the third one.
The cameo was pathetic, though.
The
wasn't
first
it?
Necromantic
like,
was literally made as, I think it was a protest movie against censorship laws. So.
Well, that's what, like, isn't it? Like, it got
it's
banned
like the
and
safety
then it was taken out because it was brought back in circulation because it was argued that there was not the artistic merit to it. And I completely agree. And like, the second one as well has a lot of that to it. But like his films, the guy who did that, Jorg Bucherite, did Their Tortoise King, which is
the what? The dead?
The dead king?
I think it's the death, the king of death or whatever it is.
Okay.
But it's literally just vignettes of people killing themselves.
Oh!
But I think there's only 7 or 8 of them, but it's actually really, it's very melancholy, it's very touching. And like, there's this one scene where it's literally just shots on a bridge, and I think there's a bit of text talking about how people jump from the bridge and kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it. And it's just something about that segment. Then there's someone who puts on like a Steadicam rig or whatever and goes into a cinema or mm-hmm. goes to a gig and starts shooting up the crowd and stuff.
Ugh.
And all these different things, like just suicide. Well, it's all suicides. But it's just really... But that's it. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, I've seen behind the scenes. He looks like someone he's kind of like our age
mm-hmm.
when he was doing them. You kind of could go like, maybe this is a guy who is just taking the piss and trying to be exploitative. But when you watch the films, there is something more to them.
Definitely.
Whereas, and like, I think the first two Human Centipede films have that going for them. The third one wants to have that going for it and it doesn't.
Bless him. Another threequel, shall we call it, which we actually saw together... was Insidious Chapter 3, which I have to say, I wasn't looking forward to until I heard Lee Whannell on the Movie Crypt, and then I thought, maybe I am. And Lee Whannell wrote... starred in is a bit of a stretch now.
He wrote them?
He wrote the first two, and he also did Saw with James Wan. He's James Wan's buddy.
Oh, the Saw... See, that's another thing. You're going back to fucking Mad Max. Mad Max Saw's directly inspired by that scene at the end.
They said it themselves.
Yeah,
but,
they're like, let's make a movie about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to say, he really didn't disappoint me. I got a lot of shit for giving it such a good review. But I don't really understand why. I thought it was fine. I definitely was creeped out. I thought there was a lot of bait and switch going on, which I really liked. There was a lot of times where I was like, oh, it's going to go this way. And then it went that way. And I thought that was cool. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think it's like a very forgettable film.
Oh, it definitely wasn't groundbreaking.
But like, I mean, I said it to you, I thought it was very comparable to Annabelle because it was both two horror films set in
the apartment block.
And I thought it did a much better job than Annabelle did. I cared about the characters more. And there's the only thing that's going to really stick with me from that film is going to be the waving demon thing, which I thought was extremely creepy. And like the first scare, like the
and again, time practical.
It, like I thought it was fantastic.
Practical.
I thought it felt like it was shoehorning in some of the elements from the other film. It felt like the 100%. Woman... Well, what is it, the woman?
Lin Shaye.
No, not the not her, but like, well, her character's in there. I didn't mind her being in it, but at the same time, it could have been anyone with that power. But more the woman in the man in the drag.
Oh, sorry, yes. Somebody commented on my review of it on Wicked Heart and was saying that they felt like it was just a cash-in. I didn't feel that at all.
No.
I argued that it was a love letter to Lin Shaye. This person was arguing it was the other way around. They only brought Lin Shaye in so it would be Insidious. I completely disagree with that. Yeah, I think Lee Whannell understood that a lot of the draw of the first two films was Lin Shaye. That's why she was brought back.
Yeah.
Because this isn't the first time she was brought back. She's brought back in two as well because she was dead.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that way at all. I thought it was a love letter to her, and fair enough because she's, you know, a very known genre face. I didn't like that Specs and Tucker were in it. I think that, you know, he forgot he had to be American about halfway through, which I thought was funny, but... I felt like that was shoehorned and I felt like the ending was kind of maudlin. But then I have to take a step back and realise that I'm not a fan of Insidious. Insidious fans, that's what they wanted. I would have preferred the ending if the kid did fucking die because I would have gone, yeah, that's brave, good for you. But she was never going to fucking die because it's an Insidious film and it had to end on a high note. It had to end with, and this is where it all begins.
Well, I didn't realise going in that it was actually a prequel.
And like,
that's exactly what it is. So it's a prequel. You know kind of what's going to happen
just
in the
end. Just setting it
up. You know where the stakes are, like... The characters, like, it's a fine standalone story. It's a real, like, a one-shot comic kind of thing. There's no real lasting effect on it. There's a good few creepy moments. It is
definitely a
kind of date night film. It's not going to last. It's going to be one that people are going to forget about instantly.
But I will say, I think it's the strongest one. I don't like Insidious. I never did. I found it boring. Insidious 2 was a travesty. Like, oh, Jesus. I remember hoping it would fucking end.
I didn't like the second one at all. But I'm still all about the first one. I like the first. I think the first one's a great horror film.
I see.
Not the second half, so much of it. But the first half is great.
If I had to pick one to watch again, I'd pick 3. And I agree with you. I think as a standalone film, it works as well. Because even if you knew nothing about Insidious, you could go into it and think, okay, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
I do think, however, it was more nods for the original fans.
Yeah, I think the Insidious films leave themselves open to be like the Hellraiser films where they have certain things in the films
that they carry
on
to
film the film, but they could be someone else can have a like some sort of horror script and just kind of shoehorn certain elements in and so it's an Insidious film.
But I don't think that's what they were trying to do with this one though.
I don't think it was. It feels in the end that's kind of what it
still
felt like a bit though.
I think it still was essentially an Insidious film and I think I suppose if you took the name off it and called it something else like Spook Night, would you be like, it's a good name? Think about it. Spook Night. Night of the Spooks. If we called it something else, would you still think it's an Insidious film? Yeah, probably. But I think there was more good than bad.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, the remake. But I felt like I was definitely creeped out for most of it.
The haunting, wait.
You know, like I said, I knew obviously they were all going to survive, which is fine. Don't really care. But I thought The Further looked better than it has done in the past two films. It definitely was creepier. I applaud him for using physical actors and just enhancing with CG.
You know what I found about The Further in that one, actually, is that it didn't feel like they'd gone into another world where it ever felt like it was just like it was in her mind. So
exactly.
We might be experiencing that, but that's just her way she's physically or mentally manifesting.
Exactly.
It.
It's not. Like, she's not walking around
not
in
like
the
smoke. She's physically walking in this area. Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, there you go. That's what I thought. That's what we thought of
it. That's what we thought of it. I have one more, but I will talk very briefly about it. But it's the Iranian vampire film, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, that I was dying to see for weeks, and I finally got to see it, and it's so good.
Sorry,
it's so good.
Sorry, Joey has just been sitting around and occasionally just saying the word Iranian, or the term, sorry, Iranian vampire movie to me.
It's also kind of a Western. Oh, it's so terrific. Track it down if you can. I mean, we had a really small release of it. It wasn't the cinemas a good few weeks, though. I mean, it was only in the two indie cinemas, obviously. But
it's on US Netflix at the moment.
It is. It's really well worth a watch. Like, it was all filmed in California, but it's all in Varsi, which is kind of cool. But it's just, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think we're kind of getting into a new era of vampire movies. You know, something like Byzantium, something like Oh, You Lovers Left Alive, and then this one as well. I feel like they all kind of fit into this new romanticism of vampires. I think vampires are coming back in a big way. And I mean, if you take something like 30 Days of Night, which is still really, really scary, I think we might be getting into a new stage of that they're going to come back and be scary again, and they're going to be weird, and they're going to be cool. Twilight, I would argue, fits into it. No, I think the first Twilight film is very moody, it's very maudlin, it's very sort of...
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's... Like, yes,
Eddie Murphy.
It's stupid, but it's
as
not...
Dracula.
It's certainly not stupider than, like, Queen of the Damned, which I fucking love and will defend to the death. But, you know
Dracula,
what I mean?
Dracula, dead and alive. Oh, yeah, we didn't mention Dracula died.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
Rest in peace.
We got three dead Draculas now.
Mm.
We got Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi is dead.
We got Christopher Lee.
Undead.
And we have Leslie Nielsen. Undead. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Mm. Christopher Lee was, wow.
That was really shocking when I heard it, actually.
Me too. I was shocked by it. And then fucking Dusty Rhodes as well.
In the same day.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Some jazz dude died that day too, but I don't know.
Nobody really cared.
Well, on that happy note.
But yeah, I think it's been a good year for horror, I have to say. I think so far.
I think we got a lot of stuff. I think in cinema in general has been kind of up this year. The films I was expecting to like, I haven't liked as much as I thought I would.
Like what?
Like, I was expecting to like Avengers a lot more than I did.
Avengers is kind of boring.
Oh yeah, it wasn't
too much going on.
Yeah, it's very complicating itself. But like, I really enjoyed Mad Max a lot more than like I was expecting. It could go really bad.
Jurassic World,
I enjoyed in a fun way. Like, the horror films I have seen, like Poltergeist, it wasn't amazing, but it was still fun enough to watch.
It definitely
Same
was diverting.
Insidious 3, like, you know,
yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, as long as I'm not going out, going like, ugh, what a bad experience.
But
Fast Seven
was terrific. Actually, speaking of action movies, you liked San Andreas a lot. San Andreas
enjoyable.
Was good fun.
It's literally starring a ghost.
Okay, but CGI Paul Walker only looks shit in that one last shot, and you don't mind because Vin Diesel is clearly crying, okay? And they play that song. You heard about Vin Diesel just bursting into song wherever he goes?
No.
Yeah, so there's this song where it's like, oh, I miss you, whatever. So he keeps going.
Don't waste your time on me.
So he'll like turn up at an award show or whatever to do an award, and all of a sudden he'll just be like, I miss you, Pablo. And it's like, you never called him Pablo, like, let's be honest here. But he's like, I miss you, Pablo. And then he'll just start singing. And everyone, like, nobody wants to be like, okay, come on now. Because, like, he's obviously showing his emotions.
Like, stop the music.
Turn the music off. I'm still talking.
Okay.
But what have we got coming up? We've got The Hallows,
well,
which is going to be good, I'd say. We've got Sinister 2 by Kieran Foy.
It's weird because I mentioned earlier, I don't know if it's this episode, last episode. Last week was fucking, this week was E3.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that guy on the site you write for who was trying to cover the horror.
And
games.
There was nothing. He
there
had like
literally
one.
Nothing
yeah, there
this
was
year
nothing.
Because there would have been.
Oh, there would have been Silent Hills.
There would have been Silent Hills, but that project is
sad.
And you hear about all the people selling. Was it Xbox? Or was it PlayStation? Was it that came
out? They're selling PS4s with it still on the hard drive.
Wow.
Yeah, because Did they like delete it off of the network or something like that?
You cannot go onto the shop and get it anymore. There was the...
So some people are playing it.
It's called... Oh no, yeah, you can still
play. It was a demo game for it, an ad game.
If you downloaded that demo,
mm-hmm.
you can still play that demo.
And is it good?
Because on your heart. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like a weird puzzle game where you're like this man, you walk through a hallway, you know, there's all this weird stuff going on. You get to the end of the hallway. It's like a hallway in the apartment, like our hallway over there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, there's a couple of corners and stuff around it, and you get this layout of this whole, it's mm-hmm. not an apartment, sorry, it's a small house.
Mm-hmm.
You get the layout going, and then you leave by the only door you can, and you walk back through the door that you started out in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all these weird repetitions of you basically going down this hall, opening the door, and then being in the exact same place you started, but with things changed slightly. And as it's going, you start to hear, like, in certain parts when you're walking, your footsteps will be like,
yeah.
But in other parts, it'll be,
oh.
And it's like, what the fuck is that? And like, something's happened to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And like, sometimes you just see her in like the window watching you as you walk by.
That's super creepy.
There's like one part of the game where, and people keep, a lot of people have missed this, but there is a point in the game where you walk into your hall, and if you look up, she's up, like, leaning on one of the banisters watching you. There's this weird thing with, like, I don't know, like, a miscarried
thing
in your sink in the bathroom.
Okay.
And, like, it just screams and cries for 10 minutes. And but it was released on its own just as PT.
Mm-hmm.
With no fanfare or anything mm-hmm. at last year's E3. With nothing done, and it was... The people played through and they're like, yeah, it's scary, and but it never really ended. Like, you get killed by the ghost or whatever. But people started noticing, like, these clues.
Mm-hmm.
There were clues in multiple languages. The idea behind all of the clues and stuff was that people from around the world would work together.
Okay.
People with many, many different languages, you know what I mean, would work together. Many different cultural clues scattered about it. And eventually there's all this mad stuff where, like, you have to... At a certain time, when your clock hits a certain time in the game, you have to, like, walk up to your radio and say something and take this amount of steps. All this crazy stuff. And then, finally, your front door is unlocked.
Okay.
And you open the front door, you walk out into the street, and there's just fucking fog everywhere. It looks fucking, like, horrible. It looks like hell outside. And, like, the camera starts to pull away from this character, and it's like... I think it says something like Hideo Kojima,
mm-hmm.
and then it says with Guillermo del Toro,
mm-hmm.
and then the guy turns around and it's Norman Reedus.
Okay.
And it's like starring Norman Reedus, and it goes Silent Hills. And that was the reveal. That was the actual announcement of the game.
Oh, wow.
Really cool.
Yeah, like he
That's mad.
How he announced the game that's coming out in September was quite similar. Like, they released a trailer
mm-hmm.
and as a completely unrelated game. And people ended up figuring out from certain clues, they're like, wait a minute. Like, there was the logo for the game was Phantom Pain.
Okay.
But there were, like, little bits kind of cut out of it. And someone went, the fuck is this? And just, like, slapped the Metal Gear Solid logo on it and fit in.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
They're like, holy shit, this is the next Metal Gear Solid. Anyway, no, that's happening now because they fired him. his contract's up in December.
That's sad.
They're getting out of video games for good, but they're keeping all their IPs, which is great. So they're going to make, like, pachinko machines and shit out of it, and it's going to be terrible and horrible.
But it's been a good year for horror.
Not horror video games, that's the thing. I think there might be, like, a new Fatal Frame game coming out, which is you walk around and take pictures of ghosts. but other than that, really, the one that was made by the guy who did... Resident Evil 4 came out and it was terrible.
Well, maybe we'll get another was it Night of Freddy's or Five Nights at Freddy's?
Oh yeah, that was super creepy.
Oh no, there's already
I know there's been three or four.
There's already been a third
it's
one.
It's so
there's,
good.
There's going to They're be a fourth one as far as I know.
It's so good though. It's so creepy.
Well, yeah, that guy is shitting them out, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. He is pooping them out at a rate of
a phenomenal 5 minutes.
All right, well, we'll be back next time.
Do you want to play any horror games?
Sure, if there's a good one. Five Nights at Freddy's was good.
One that'll scare you?
Yeah.
Maybe Outlast or something?
I don't know. I don't have time for this.
You don't have time for them?
No, you know I don't have time. I just spend all my time watching stuff.
Is there anything you're looking forward to watching?
I'm looking forward to The Hallow. I think that could be good. I'm looking forward to Sinister 2 to see what Kieran Foy does with it. I'm looking forward to Minions.
Yes, scariest movie.
Looking forward to Magic Mike XXL because I hope it's actually fun, unlike the first one, which wasn't fun and was depressing.
Yeah, why did you think that was going to be fun?
I don't know, because it was stripping.
You were like, oh, there's going to be so much male cheesecake in this fucking movie, instead of it being so like,
what's cheesecake?
Like, almost softcore porn, like,
ew.
You know, a little something for the ladies.
I don't like male strippers. I wouldn't go watch. I saw one in Gran Canaria.
Instead of thinking that it was going to be basically The Wrestler but about strippers, like, why didn't you think? Why was there that assumption?
You don't like male strippers, but you went to Magic Mike, the first one.
Yeah.
And now you're looking forward to the second.
I like Channing Tatum, mm-hmm. and Kevin Nash is in it. And it's like, why? Channing Tatum did an AMA on Reddit.
She wanted to see big fucking sexy man.
Channing Tatum did an AMA on Reddit and they asked him who he'd want to get a lap dance by and he said Kevin Nash.
Oh dear.
But on that note, we're gonna go. Yes. So
Joey needs to go. She needs to think about Kevin Nash now. She needs to go rewatch Turtles 2.
That's so not what's
gonna
happen.
You can go ask her what her thoughts on Kevin Nash are at Joey at L, what's Joey?
Oh, it doesn't
Joey
even LDG. Know. It doesn't even know what it
Joey
is.
Joey LDG.
Which stands for Living Dead Girl. And you are at
Come on.
I'm supposed to say it? Okay. Rich M. Waters. M for Muriel. And Peter is at...
home. I'm at home right
He's
now.
He's at home in his kitchen right now. You can catch us on Twitter, twitter.com/horrorlives, or on Facebook, facebook.com/horrorlives. We have Tumblr as well, but I usually just use that to reblog lots of Andy Biersack.
Yeah, that's gross. No, seriously though, on my Twitter, don't follow me. I'm sick of people following me.
Why? They don't ask you to do anything.
They never follow the right one.
Oh.
No one ever follows the
follow
right one.
Follow Shoehead Art. Just search Shoehead Art and you'll find it.
It's really annoying. I get so many. I don't think I've had a legit follower.
I get followed and unfollowed a lot. Does that actually work? Does anyone actually does that work for anyone?
Oh, that's the most annoying
thing. Annoys me so much. I'm gonna fucking reply to the next person who does it and ask them, does this actually fucking work on anyone? Because it ain't working on me. Don't do that.
I've been actively telling people to fuck off on Twitter. People have been following me and I've been saying fuck off.
We shouldn't.
Don't talk.
We're very social.
It's like you're not.
We say lots of funny things.
Like, fuck them. They're not. They follow me and immediately put me on mute anyway. Who fucking cares?
How do you know?
Because they have 6,000 people that they're following.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that's how I can tell if someone's like legit or not. It's like if you have we're talking like triple figures, maybe quadruple figures.
Mm-hmm.
Not triple figures, sorry. Quadruple, maybe pentuple figure following counts and you follow me, I know you're not going to see anything I say ever or care about it. So why the fuck do I care?
Well, follow Twitter for Horror Lives.
Yeah, because we don't have enough followers there.
We don't. You should follow us on there. And especially if you're like some sort of random film festival.
Yeah,
get us to 6,000.
We love that.
We're really, really, really active on there. We're always on that Twitter.
We're always on Twitter. I check it all the time.
Single
I check
day.
It. We check it.
All
so
of us check it.
Say things to us, please.
We are tweeting up a storm.
This is dying. Come on. Say goodbye.
I already said goodbye.
We have our email and we check that all the time. We have our Facebook page and we definitely check that.
Are you doing this on purpose now?
I'm actually going to stop it. Goodbye.
Hey, I'll swallow your soul. I'll swallow your soul. I'll swallow your soul.
Swallow this.
I am dead. And I am here to do the devil's work.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up. They're all messed up. They're all messed up. They're all messed up.